Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to go around the diamond with Detroit Tigers manager Brad Ausmus on 97.1 The Ticket.
Good morning, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
We are doing all right. We appreciate you joining us, as always, down at Comerica Park for a game today against the Royals. You know, we've talked a lot, Brad, this morning about last night's game and Daniel Norris and the struggles of Daniel Norris, not just game to game, but almost it seems inning to inning or even sometimes pitch to pitch. I mean, Stoney was mentioning he looked fantastic early last night, and then obviously something went awry there in the middle innings. What is it? You're the expert. We're not. Is there a mechanical thing with him? Is it a mental thing with him where he can look so good and so challenged in even an inning for that matter?
Well, I think it can be a little bit of both. I think first and foremost, he has trouble, and I've said this many times, repeating his delivery and his release point, and then you have a lot of inconsistencies with the command of the pitches, and sometimes to the point where he even eliminates pitches for an inning or a game because he just doesn't have the ability to repeat the delivery of it or to throw it in the strike zone or where he wants it. And then, you know, there are times, and although I think he's gotten better on the emotional side, there are times where he can let what happens on the field affect the next pitch, which you have to, in baseball, you have to learn to have no rearview mirror. You can't think about what's just happened because you can't allow it to affect what's happening next.
Well, before you got here, it worked with Max Scherzer. It seems now that you've experienced it, it's worked with Anibal Sanchez. Matthew Boyd's had success down there. He's going to pitch on Saturday. Is it time for Daniel Norris to get the Toledo tweak?
Well, I mean, Stoney always tried to ask me this on the air. I certainly wouldn't discuss it if it was time.
Okay.
You know, we evaluate our players, and if we think it's something that might make Daniel Norris better in the long run, as we think with Boyd, it might be something that we discuss or do. But for the time being, you know, the thing about Daniel is really a little bit frustrating because he's got such great stuff as you expect him at any moment to turn the corner. He's got the ability to dominate hitters, to get swings and misses on multiple pitches, and then he has trouble commanding the ball at times. So it's you see flashes of really borderline brilliance, like ace-type stuff. I think that's what sometimes is a little bit discouraging.
When you go back and watch film of it, or I mean, obviously, if you could see it coming, you would walk out to the mound right away and address it. But does talking about it after the game or looking at it, can you see the inconsistencies creeping in on him? Or is it one of these things where he might have two strikes on a batter and look brilliant, and then, like you said, the mechanical things might fall apart a little bit on the very next pitch?
Well, like you said, at the beginning, it can be one inning he can look brilliant and then have a bad inning. And then he can come back the following inning and look brilliant again. You know, that happened in Seattle. And,
yeah.
It's just a matter of being able to repeat that delivery and that release point so he can command the ball on a consistent basis. That's really what it boils down to.
This is our first time talking to you since the road trip, and obviously it was very tough on the team and tough for you with the losing streak. How, as a manager, do you address a losing streak, or do you just not address it, understanding that that's a part of baseball and every baseball team's going to go through rough patches? I'm talking about with the team day in and day out. Do you kind of let it ride, or at any point do you say anything out of the ordinary?
It depends on what's causing the losing streak. You know, if it's lack of effort, lack of caring, if they're not getting their work in, if they're not preparing, then I think it has to be addressed, whether it's on a team basis or whether you're addressing the individuals that are not going about their business the right way. But if you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing and you're just not winning, I don't think, other than trying to pick the guys up and make sure no one's lip is dragging on the floor, there's really not a lot you can say because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You made some tweaks with. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You made some tweaks with the batting order. I know I've asked a few times. A lot of people kind of obsessed, like myself, with Victor batting fourth so much. You put him to the sixth. Two parts. Why now, and why did it take so long?
Well, I did it now just because I made the change in the batting order the other day with moving Miggy down to fourth. JD went back to fifth, where I think he's most comfortable. And both of those guys hit home runs that night. Alex, obviously, I think stays near the top not only because of how he's hitting, but how much he gets on base. And I like Kinsler at the very top of the lineup in the one hole, generally speaking, because he's dangerous immediately. From pitch one, the opposing pitcher has to be aware of the long ball, never mind the ability to get on base. So it really just kind of fell naturally because we had made this change, or I had made this change in the lineup the day before he came back.
In April, when we talked to you, you guys were, you got off to a good start, and obviously a lot of the statistics didn't necessarily support that, and you even admitted that. You said, look, we got to play better. We're not going to keep winning the way we're winning, and the math has kind of come into play. And I bring that up because the math, once again, still is not, it's not in your favor, but it's certainly not against you. You guys are 7 games out despite having lost, 14 of your last 19, and the first place team comes to your place tomorrow for the start of a 4-game series. I mean, as discouraging, I'm sure, as this stretch has been for you in the month of June, the fact is that July 1st is going to roll around the calendar, and you guys are still, you're not right there, but it's just, you're still right there. You're still in it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, we're definitely not out of it. There's no question about that, especially in this division. But and I said this the other day, we also have to start amassing wins. We went through the slide. We did the same thing the previous year. We lost 7 in a row, but certainly not unrecoverable. And but we're going to have to do it sooner than later. I do think we're going to have to start winning games. Right now, basically, we got to start winning games and start piling up some wins and yeah, we're in it, but we need to be up in it a little bit farther.
Right.
Al Avila said there will not be a manager change, so obviously you probably feel good about that. You've gone through this before.
Brad was actually fired back in September of 2015, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Actually, I didn't know Al said there wasn't going to be a manager change either.
Well, he basically gave support that you're doing fine, that type of thing. They like your work. The question I have, though, as a player, when you've gone through this, what does changing managers do anyway in the midseason to a player?
In my experience, to a team or to a
player, both.
I think to a player has to play regardless. That's their livelihood. They play to perform, or they're trying to perform well for their to get contracts, to extend their career, to win games. Managerial changes in the middle, unless the manager is a real problem in the clubhouse for the players, or there's a lot of disrespect. I don't know what does a ton. They changed managers in 2004. I was in Houston and they fired Jimmy Williams over the All-Star break and brought in Phil Gardner. And, I'll give to Gar's credit. We ended up going from mediocre to making the playoffs. But I'll be honest with you that there wasn't a huge difference. It's not like Gar came in and did a lot differently than Jimmy Williams did. What happened was the players they either got hot with the bat or the pitchers were throwing better. The players were playing better. That's generally how it happens. There's not a ton that changing a manager does mid-season.
Speaking of getting better, Miggy's seemed to get a little power lately the last week or so. Is he getting healthier, or is there just something going on that he's starting to be Miggy again?
I just think he's starting to be Miggy again. I mean, he's going to have to deal with a little bit of the back issue probably the rest of his career. But he's starting to look like to get a little rhythm at the plate. When he gets that rhythm, he can go on runs like he did at the end of last year for 2 months, and he can become that guy that can carry a team, that you've seen carry the team here. I thought last night, he hit a home run 2 nights ago. But I thought last night, that home run he hit last night was as hard as he hit a ball all season, and it got out in a blink. And even the single he hit, he just looks like he's got rhythm. It looks like his rhythm's coming back, and we hope to get him there, and then he could just stay there.
Last thing, Brad, obviously All-Stars are going to be named this weekend. I'm curious. I know you're not. There's a few guys who are candidates on your team, and you're not going to single any guy out. But is there part of you that's kind of rooting for Avila, given what he's been through, the fact that he's back here now with his home team, and the fact that he's a catcher? I would think you might be a little partial to him on that point as well.
Yeah, I think the two guys on our team are Alex and Justin Upton that probably stand out for the All-Star game. In my mind, both those guys. But Alex has had a tremendous year. Talk about I don't want to say it's a comeback because he wasn't really injured last year, but just from a performance standpoint, this guy could be comeback player of the year.
All right. Hey, Brad, thanks for the time.
Thanks,
as always,
Brad.
Great talking to you. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Brad Ausmus joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket. The three-dimensional services group brings you Brad Ausmus. Prototype, production, proven. Visit the3dimensional.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!